And we're joined once again on The Scoop today by Colton Molesky, taking a look at what we saw in week two of the college football season. Colton, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm talking about college football, so I'm not doing too bad at all.
we saw a lot of surprises in week number two. A lot of rough losses if you follow members of the Big Ten, and some other interesting games as well. What were some of the biggest surprises that you saw, Colton, from the week two slate?
I think I was pleasantly surprised with how good Texas A&M is. I predicted that game being fairly close, but to have it be a two-point game that came down to the last possession, and really shouldn't have come down to the last possession if you were watching the fumble through the end zone call made on the drive before Texas A&M went on their scoring drive, their second-to-last drive. I thought it was wide of the end zone, and I thought it was a terrible call. So if you're looking at it through that lens, then maybe they win this game if they don't get the short end of the stick on that call. But either way, 2 points against the number two team in the country, really good for Jimbo Fisher and company, as they coming off a win where their rushing game went for over 500 yards against an FCS team, and everybody was thinking they'd come down to earth pretty quickly. They have some real talent on this team, and they have not only some guys on offense, but some guys in the secondary. They're getting a pretty decent pass rush consistently throughout the second half of that game. I'm very impressed with Texas A&M. So that was probably my big takeaway from week two, was that Texas A&M should not be slept on this year.
Colton, I want to talk about, I think, the biggest spread I've ever seen in a college football game, as Miami taking on Savannah State. And I think they were something like a 60, I want to say it was 67-point or maybe even 70-point favorite over Savannah State. And they ended up winning 77-0. So not only do you have that huge spread, but then Miami covers it too. That's just insanity.
Yeah, that was crazy. And a good bounce back for them against a bad opponent. But you saw them really well against LSU in that first week. So they needed that win about as bad as anybody else.
Colton,
their opener, when they were a favorite, when you had everybody kind of excited about them after last year, to be able to come back like that is huge for them.
Colton, I mentioned it was a little bit of a rough go for several members of the Big Ten. Most notably, Michigan State ended up getting upset by Arizona State 16-13. 13 points in the fourth quarter for Arizona State. What went wrong for the Spartans?
Well, I first of all like to pat myself a little bit on the back. This was my lock of the week for the show last week, and so I just wanted to say that I'm always happy to give out winners, and while it doesn't happen too often, we've got to take note of it when it does happen, because again, it won't happen again for a little while, so we got to appreciate it. But what happened here was just, again, the rushing of this MSU team. They need a good running back to be successful. You look at their history, Le'Veon Bell, most notably, but they've had a lot of good running backs come through this program and get to the NFL, and so this team really struggles when they don't have a fantastic running back. 63 total yards on the ground against Arizona State in that game, and so that was probably the biggest stat for them, was that they weren't able to implement that rushing attack, but also letting up 13 points in the fourth quarter versus Arizona State, which eventually put them away and put up Arizona 16-13. You just can't blow a lead like that. And to have Manny Wilkins end with 380 yards and to be able to lead drive after drive in the last quarter of the game, that is what really did it for the Spartans. And like I said, their offense is going to struggle all year long, and their defense just isn't built to compensate for an offense that can't grind out the ball and grind out the clock. And so Arizona was able to take advantage of that, and they did a terrific job in the fourth quarter.
What about Kentucky coming away with a win over Florida 27-16? And it's been a very, very long time since Kentucky was able to beat Florida, but Florida was in the top 25 at that point, and this looks to be a pretty bad loss for them.
Everybody's replaying that touchdown pass, which, by the way, was a fantastic touchdown, the deep dagger 54 yards to Bowden Jr. But the real hero in this game was Snell Jr., their running back, 175 yards on the ground, averaging 6.5 yards per carry on 27 touches from the backfield. To be able to grind out the ball and to not only be able to grab a lead, but then to be able to effectively run it over and over again, that's the difference in this game.
Colton, any other results, just scanning up and down the scoreboard here for the week two games, any that really surprised you at all? We could look at the Stanford-USC game as Stanford ends up getting the 17-3 win. That a surprise at all?
No, I don't think it was a surprise. I think it was a surprise the way they won. I expected a higher score there. I expected there to be a little bit of a shootout between KJ Costello and JT Daniels, the quarterbacks for Stanford and USC, respectively. It ended up being a defensive battle, and I didn't think it was going to be that way because you have a lot of guys from USC in the NFL, a lot of their linebackers and a lot of their front seven, and then obviously Peter Kalamba and Harrison Phillips from Stanford's front seven from their defensive line. In the NFL, they don't really have any big guys in that front to get after the quarterback like they usually do. Think about Stanford and Harrison Phillips, Solomon Thomas. Those names come to mind when you think of their front seven. They don't have those guys on the defensive front, but what they are doing, which is fascinating, is they are moving their linebackers around a ton when they're rushing the quarterback. They have these a bunch of guys, Sean Barton, Bobby O'Keefe, and they have a bunch of guys. They have like four or five linebackers that can move around Tuhill, Afilery. They have four guys that they can move around, and they can either have them outside, inside, and they can flip their blitzes. They just had on the forced fumble on JT Daniels, they had five guys on the line. They have one linebacker drop into coverage, one come off and overload one side of the line, and they can do that because all of these guys can get a rush or drop into coverage and not really sure where the blitz is coming from. And because of that versatility at the linebacker spots, they're able to manufacture this pressure. Really interesting how the defense was able to put pressure on JT Daniels consistently throughout the game that way. And it was fascinating to watch and ended up getting them the 17-3 win. Fun fact, last time Stanford held USC to 3 points or less, it was 1941.
Oh, my. That's a little bit of a range since that last happened. So interesting that it's been that long since the Trojans have been held to that low of a point total. But hey, it's early, 1-1 on the season. I suppose they'll have plenty of opportunities to get the ship righted.
And JT Daniels is a versatility at linebacker. It was the second interception he threw, there was some pressure, but the first one, he was just unloading that ball into double coverage quickly. I think that was one of those where he was sensing the pressure before it was actually there. Factor because all games, Stanford was around his ankles, in his face, getting sacks, ended up with four sacks in that game. And when you're able to bring linebackers from all over the place and you have safeties who can come off blitzes as well, that's the kind of stuff that happened. You saw the corner who joined, made his season debut, Elijah Holder, one of the veterans in the secondary. He was coming off the edge, there was corner blitzing. So when you're able to have linebackers that drop into coverage all over the place, you can do a ton of things with your coverage and with your blitz packages, and it really bothered JT Daniels right away from the go.
Colton, looking at the top 25 heading into week three, at least the AP poll, Alabama's number one, then you got Clemson, Georgia, Ohio State, Oklahoma rounding out the top five. Wisconsin, Auburn, Notre Dame, Stanford, and Washington round out the top 10. Scanning through the entirety of the list, any surprises in terms of teams that are in the top 25 or teams that should be in that are not?
I think it's going back to the Arizona State Michigan State game, I don't think Michigan State should have been ever in the top 25. So it's just, it's kind of interesting that Arizona State is in the top 25. It makes sense because they beat a ranked team who was at the time ranked 15th when they beat them. So it makes sense that they're in, but it's just the way they get in is fascinating because they beat a team I don't think should be ranked, and now we'll see how long they're able to hold on to this top 25 ranking. But this is kind of the fluky part of college football, is that these teams that beat teams that probably shouldn't be ranked get in the first couple, 1, 2, 3 weeks, because they beat a team that ends up, you find out later throughout the season, this team should never have been ranked. So it'll be fun to see how long Arizona State is able to hold on to that 23 ranking or stay in the top 25. Other than them, I don't think there's not anybody that really surprises me too much. There are some teams, I think, see Wisconsin actually move up from 6. I have Wisconsin as a contender for the playoff, to represent the Big Ten in the playoff. And so I think you'll see them move up through the course of the season. And I think you'll see a lot of Pac-12 teams in here, actually, because of the offenses and because the quarterback play, I think, is going to be elevated this year in the Pac-12. So I think you have Stanford in, you have, you have Oregon in, you have Arizona State, USC. I think Washington, there's a lot of teams in right now. I think you see the Pac-12 keep a lot of teams in the top 25 this year because of the quarterbacks they have around the conference.
Well, and they're missing the Gophers. Gophers should be in the top 25 after another exciting game on Saturday. They took down Fresno State 21-14. I'm sure you've seen highlights of the game-sealing interception by Antoine Winfield Jr., but the Gophers off to a nice little start here, 2-0.
And you were at the game.
Yes, I was.
What was that atmosphere like? How was the crowd?
The crowd was electric. It was because it was such a close game. People were in it. More up until the end. Granted, the offense for the Gophers didn't do a whole lot. They did enough, but the fans were in it up until the end, and when Winfield made that that game-winning interception, the place went absolutely bonkers.
That is fantastic. It's good to see them not only be in close games, but win games like that. It's kind of like a Minnesota thing to lose that game to the running back throw to the tight end. But to have them win is really awesome. And I think it speaks volumes, like I was saying before the season, what this team can do when they're healthy. Antoine Winfield Jr., one of those guys that was injured a lot of last season. The difference he makes having him in the lineup, it's almost incalculable.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they adjust to not having Rodney Smith anymore after he was lost for the season with a torn ACL. But one more game here in the non-conference portion of the schedule to make some noise, and we'll look at that here in a little bit. But I did want to start with the top 25 slate for Week 3. There is one, it looks like, where two ranked teams are playing, LSU and Auburn, which will be a fantastic game. Any other games throughout the weekend that really draw your attention?
Yeah, I would. I'd like to draw everyone's attention to Ohio State playing TCU on the road. I think this is going to be a really good game. Ohio State is favored by 12.5 points on the road. So that means TCU is a 12.5 point dog at home. I like Ohio State to win this one, but I think it's going to be like by 3-4 points. It's not going to be as big of a spread as the number would lead you to believe. Corey Bethley is going to be the guy to watch in this game. The defensive tackle, defensive edge and tackle hybrid for the TCU Horned Frogs defense. He already has 4 tackles for loss and 3 sacks in 2 games this season. He's an absolute monster. And what he does for the interior, it frees up a lot of guys on the edge, and it makes the TCU Horned Frogs, it gives them a lot of versatility in their blitz packages. When you have somebody like Bethley drawing so many double teams and sucking up so many blocks, especially when he comes to the middle, it opens up a lot for the middle linebackers. If you want to bring a safety blitz right up the gut, it opens up a lot of stuff. And so I think that TCU is going to throw a lot of different coverages at Ohio State and at their quarterback. And it's going to be interesting because they've been playing easy opponents. They've been playing dogs these last couple of games, and now they're going to have to play a real opponent. Haskins, their quarterback, has 546 yards, 9 touchdowns passing this year. He's going to get his first real test this week. It's going to be interesting to see how he responds. Still no head coach. Urban Meyer's still out. This is the last game of suspension. So TCU is going to try and make everything kind of hit the fan this week and throw a bunch of stuff at their quarterback and at their interim head coach. And it'll be interesting to see how they handle all that on the road in a hostile environment.
Colton, let's get to your locks of the week. Hit me.
All right, so my lock of the week is LSU versus Auburn. You mentioned that game and before. This is going to be a fantastic game. I totally agree with you. But I actually have LSU winning this game on the road. Auburn is a 9.5-point favorite. If you grab the points with LSU, that is the lock of the week. I loved LSU going to week one against Miami. I thought that the defense wasn't going to be even a question mark for this LSU team. They have so many NFL bodies on this defense. You're looking at some of the guys on this roster. You have Devin White. You have Grant Duplett. You have Rashad Lawrence. All these guys, Greedy Williams, all these guys at every single level are going to be NFL players. And you're looking at some of these stats. White has 19 tackles already. Duplett has 3 tackles for loss, 2 sacks at linebacker. Rashad Lawrence has 2 tackles for loss, and he is actually impacting this line in a big way. You have guys around him grabbing sacks all over the place. Brendan Fiacco has 3 tackles for loss, 1.5 sacks. The linebackers are grabbing sacks. That's all because Rashad Lawrence is pulling so many double coverages. And so, again, the offense for LSU looked good the last couple of weeks, but I'm not even factoring that in too much because I think this defense is going to control so much of this game and dictate so much of what is going to happen in this matchup. But I think that LSU's offense is just going to be able to be opportunistic, not take a lot of risks, take some short yard situations because LSU is going to turn over the ball and get touchdowns off of these short yardage situations, and then just be careful with the football. Don't take any risks because your defense is going to bail you out time and again. And for Auburn, I think you saw them hit the panic a little bit when Washington was figuring out stuff on defense. You had them in that scrappy game against Washington week one where their offense kind of stalled, especially in that second half. And their offense is going to face a whole different monster against LSU. I love LSU's defense. I've loved it all year long, going into this year all summer. And I think that's going to come up big against Auburn, and it's going to be a big statement victory for the Tigers.
There you have it, the lock of the week. Colton, great stuff again today, recapping week 2 of the college football season. We'll see how things play out in game 3. We'll see if your lock of the week is right on point when we talk to you again next week.
Thanks again for having me on. Make sure to check out the SB Nation blog post. Whatever college you're cheering for every Saturday, I'm sure SB Nation has coverage of the Division I school that you love supporting. So make sure to go check out SB Nation's college sites. Make sure to check out the Rule 3 Conquest Chronicles, the Pac-12 coverage especially, because that's where I'm hoping it was most. But as always, make sure to read SB Nation content.
Love it, Colton. Enjoy the games this weekend. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Seth.